Newsroom Footy, hosted by me, Sam Wykes,
and me, Tenero Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next-gen Nijin Footy Stars.
Nijin Footy. Nijin Footy.
Listen to Nijin Footy on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolele and welcome to Fresh Off the Field for the last time in 2025. My name is Sam Wykes. I'm Tongan Australian and have the privilege of sharing stories from our Pacifica sports people on this show, as well as Nijin Footy and that Pacific sports show on TV. And if you've listened to the show before, you know I'm also joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific, and each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the islands. So let's get to them right now. My first co-host is a sports journalist in PNG, and we say hello and welcome to Jamie Huddle.
Hello, Sam. Last episode of the season. It's quite sad that we're ending this, but I'm also excited to go on holidays.
Me too. It's been a massive year, I think, for everyone involved, and we are all looking forward to a little bit of a break, and we will be back next year. You'll be back next year, though, won't you, Jamie? You're not leaving us?
Yes. No, I'm not leaving. I'll be here for the fun. So I'm like really excited to start off next year, but after the break.
After the break, of course. Well, we did say it has been a massive year, and I want to get to what was your favorite sporty moment of the year when we reflect back?
There was a lot, actually. A lot of highlights traveling to Fiji, Palau, New Zealand. But I would say my best sporting moment was in New Zealand. I had the privilege to watch the FIFA World Cup, Men's World Cup qualifiers in New Zealand between the White Ferns and New Caledonia. So that's one of my highlights, apart from rugby union and rugby league.
Yeah, very nice. Well, let's get to my other co-host, who is a journalist and the deputy sports editor at the Fiji Times. And back for the very first time here on the show since August 2024, after having a baby, and we say bula and welcome back to Tale Mate Rakula.
Bula Sam, it's been a while since I've been on here. Well, thank you so much for having me again.
It is great to have you back on. And how has the year been with baby?
It's been a busy year, juggling, you know, being a mother and working, but, you know, it's all part of the journey. It's a learning process as well for me, but yeah, overall, I'm just enjoying it.
What about the sporting moments that you enjoyed this year? I know you're juggling being a mother and obviously the work that you're doing, but Fiji, they've been killing it in sport in 2025, but what's been your sporting highlight?
Yeah, it's been a busy season. It's funny because usually this is off season for us, but there's still a lot going on. There's so much to choose from, but I think for me, it'll have to do with the announcement that Fiji is joining the Nations Cup next year. I think that's exciting. Apart from all the on-field action, that's for me the highlight of this season.
Yeah, Tier 1 status for the Flying Fijians, and I'm sure Mick Byrne is really looking forward to playing more and more games against the top nations, and so am I. But let's get to what's coming up on the show. We'll hear from Anushil Kumar, who is the acting CEO of Bullet FC in Fiji, Fiji's first club set to play in the inaugural OFC Pro League in 2026.
Bula FC is Fiji's first ever professional football franchise. In simple, I would say it's the football version of Fijian Rua.
You'll also meet Grace Kolba, who has represented PNG and won medals at multiple Pacific Games in a growing sport in Papua New Guinea, touch footy.
Yeah, touch has really grown over the years. It used to be just centered in POM and in play, but now it's like it's really grown. You've got the Highlands regions playing, you've got the New Guinea Islands regions now, so it's really grown and you can see it at nationals when we come to play.
There's also news in the world of football, athletics, rugby union, boxing, surfing, plus my favourite parts of the show, our usual trivia and games, so let's rip into it.
Fresh off the field. morning pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Yeah, so I'm fresh off the field. You'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Jamie, we're going to start with you in PNG. What have you got for us?
Well, big news for Team PNG. The Papua New Guinea Olympic Committee Executive Board has approved a 50% reimbursement of levy fees to the national federations following Team PNG's successful participation at the Palau 2025 Pacific Mini Games with outstanding results. So the national federations that pay 2,000 kina levy fee per athlete and official will receive reimbursement of 1,000 kina for their teams. This decision reflects PNGOC's commitment to partnership with the national federations while ensuring the organization maintains capacity to support future competitions. Now, the PNGOC has established levy fee payment of 2,000 kina for each athlete and officials participating at the games to ensure that they have been supported, because PNGOC is a not-for-profit organization. So whatever funds they raise, they also rely on national federations to also assist when they prepare for big games such as Pacific Games or Commonwealth Games, including Olympics. So these 50% levies were invoiced to national federations. And from there, they will start to build up again for preparations for big events. Now, they've also instructed that athletes should not be directly required to pay levy fees as a condition of participation, hence the reason why national federations come in. So PNGOC directly paid the levy fee reimbursements to the national federations. And this year, the cost per athlete for Palau 2025 Pacific Mini Games was approximately 11,000 kina for per NF. And from that 11,000 kina, the 2,000 kina levy fee represented only 18% rather of the total cost, with PNGOC subsidizing the remaining of 82%, hence the partnership between the NFs and PNGOC. Now, that 11,000 kina, which was gathered from the NFs, represent international and domestic airfares for athletes who are living in other parts of the country as well as overseas, full accommodation throughout the games period, daily meals, athlete allowances, complete team uniforms and team kit equipments, to name a few. And that's where the 11,000 kina covered for the team's participation. And PNGOC's commitment to national federations were clear. This followed after they confirmed that the government's allocated funding for Team PNG was released to the National Olympic Committee, about 50%, which is equivalent to 2 million kina, hence the reimbursement. Now, PNG Olympic Committee confirms that the full report of acquittals was submitted to the PNG Sports Foundation just 2 months ago for that fund received by the government. Hence, they've decided to reimburse back to the national federations. Now, they are currently focused on keeping these funds especially for the national federations. They are putting a word out that to keep the funds while they continue to raise more funds, especially with upcoming competitions, including the Glasgow 2026 Commonwealth Games, the Pacific Games in Tahiti, as well as the 2028 Olympic Games in Los Angeles, USA.
Nice. And how do you think the athletes are feeling about this with the news?
It's a bad and uplifted for the athletes, but unfortunately, I don't think the money will go back to the athletes, because, like I said, they have only 2 years to prepare for the Pacific Games in Tahiti, which is big. So whatever funds the national federations receive, I'm sure it will go towards helping them to prepare again for Tahiti in case they need levy fees. They already have funds that are in the accounts to help them prepare well for the games in Tahiti.
Nice. Well, let's get over to you now, Tale. What's the talk of the town in beautiful Fiji?
Well, the Fiji Achievement in Media Excellence Award, FAME, had everybody talking, and we got both good and bad reviews. But what I want to highlight here is that, you know, when you talk about sports in Fiji, you'll immediately think about men, you know, on the field, on the sidelines, on the commentary booth. But during the FAME Awards, we had three incredible women in sports that were recognized for their work. One of them was FBC sports reporter Taina Mbasialo. I think she's a co-host for this show as well. She won the best sports report for television and video. The second person is Lucy Mbanuve. She's a sports and news reporter at MyTV, and she won the best sports journalism award. The third one is Cecilina Dhakao. She's a former FBC radio announcer, and she was given the best female sports commentator. And, you know, when you think about it, this is huge for Fiji because we have these three incredible women that are making strides in, you know, in sports dominated by men. And, you know, the common message that they said after receiving the award was, you know, this is to inspire the next generation of women that are willing to be, you know, involved in the space of sports, whether it be on the field or outside of the field.
Did Tona mention Fresh Off the Field in her acceptance speech? Just say thanks, Sam Wykes, and the Fresh Off the Field crew for this award. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here.
I'm not too sure about that. No. But you did thank me, though.
As long as someone got thanks, that's the main thing. But no, honestly, in all seriousness, wonderful news there. She's an amazing presenter. I love watching her stuff, you know, online on socials. Keeps me up to date with all the latest Fijian sport news. So I'm sure she's got more awards along the way as well. But as always, thank you for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless, Jamie and Tali.
Want the latest Pacific Rugby League and Union news and interviews with stars of the game? Tune in to Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tini Rao Arona.
Tongans went to the local university football side, BYU, out there.
BYU.
BYU.
Bring your own umbrella.
But the head coach to them is Tongan. And I found that on our family chat, we're related.
Nation Footy, Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with Jamie Haro, Sam Wykes, and Tale Mate Rakula. And we're going to now find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Jamie, what's caught your eye in PNG?
Well, not to be biased, but my football team has made it to the grand final.
So that was the only news that you had for us in PNG? Just it had to be your team?
Oh, no, there are others, but I decided to go with football.
Well, that's being biased. Now, all good. Continue.
Yeah, so the Gulf Comora Football Club will be making their second grand final appearance when the Premier Soccer League grand final kicks off this weekend at the PNG Football Stadium. Now, this followed after Comora FC vanquished defending champions Hekari United FC with a 3-0 win during the semifinals on Sunday. The Comora side, led by former Kapul and now coach David Auer, have been participating in this PSL competition for the last 7 years, with their first grand final appearance last year, despite a narrow loss to Hekari. This year they came back fighting to earn another grand final spot. So good news for the Comora, with completely new lineup. This for Hekari, unfortunately for Hekari, it was a new lineup for them, following departure of Hekari senior players to the OFC Professional League team. Now, Comora took advantage of that and beat the inexperienced man in red and exacted their revenge from last year's grand final. Now, Gulf Comora had a strong regular season and finished third on the PSL ladder. Coach David Auer was really impressed with the dominant performance and praised the players, especially with the strong defense to win against the Hekari side. Now, he has revealed that Comoros' experienced defender, Philip Steven, had an injury after the MSG Prime Minister's Cup Grand Final, but he remains hopeful that Steven will be ready for the decider this weekend. Now, an additional success for the football club was also having Gulf Comoros FC's futsal team represent PNG at the 2025 OFC Futsal Men's Champions League in Fiji last month. So, apart from the success, they're expected to face Morobe Wawens FC, led by former PNG Couples coach Bob Morris. And Wawens also broke an 8-year drought after defeating Lay City FC in the semifinals last week. So, two new teams, one winner, and an opportunity for both these clubs to book a golden ticket to represent PNG in the next OFC Men's Champions League in Fiji next year.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And how about from across the Pacific? What do you want to share with us?
For Brother Pacific, we have some good news for Rugby Sevens. The Usotasi Leopards Rugby League Club, or Rugby Union Club, sorry.
From Get that the bit right, please.
Okay, I'll just go again. Sorry. For Brother Pacific, the Usotasi Leopards Rugby Union Club from the Solomon Islands have qualified for the 2026 McDonald's Coral Coast Sevens tournament set for Fiji, Sikatoka, Fiji next month. So some interesting news for Solomon Islands. This is the first time a local Solomon Islands team has qualified following an impressive performance during the one-day Super Sevens tournament, a qualifier that took place at Lawanga Park over the weekend. Now the team, Usotasi, displayed exceptional fitness and skill on the field, challenging the local teams and earning the win in the tournament. They were one of seven qualifying teams for this tournament next month. Club owner Calvin Tenge Moana expressed his pride in the team's performance, stating that the players gave their best and showed great determination. Now, he emphasized on the significance of participating in this tournament, especially of this quality and great exposure for a young team coming all the way from Solomon Islands. Now, Usotasi, under the guidance of the coach and former Flying Fiji and Rupeni Kaukau, had thoroughly prepared for this tournament and had a strong team spirit when they went to compete in Fiji. So, achieving these wins against top rugby teams in Fiji during the qualifier was a significant accomplishment for the rugby club, as they continue to prepare for the big dance back home. Now, they are among six qualifying teams, including Wardens, Yarrow Chief, Dominion Brothers, Ravuka Sharks, Police Blue, and one of the teams that stood out to me was Devil Barbers, who won this year's Sports Talk tournament in Papua New Guinea. So, that's big news for these teams. Meanwhile, the Coral Coast Sevens will be bigger than ever, with Australia and New Zealand Sevens development sides confirmed to compete, among other teams from the United States, Great Britain, and Japan, to name a few. Overall, it will be a huge weekend for Sevens, Rugby Sevens in Fiji's rugby town, Sikatoka.
You're not wrong. It's one of the best Sevens tournaments in the world. And when you think of the stars that line up for the Coral Coast Sevens, it's unbelievable. The Fijian Drua will have a Sevens team back in there. We also see that Jerry Tua will be back as well, playing the old bull. He'll be still carving up, got no doubt. But looking forward to see who takes out the Coral Coast Sevens. But let's get over to you now, Tale. What's grabbed your attention and what do you want to share?
Yeah, still on Sevens. we have a series that's underway right now. It's called the Fiji Beaters Series. And there's six tournaments altogether that make up this series. Starting today, we have the second leg of this series that's happening on the island of Taviuni. So 32 men's teams and 8 women's teams will compete in that three-day tournament, which starts today. there's a total, as I said, there's a total of six tournaments that make up this series, and it culminates to what Fiji calls the mecca of local sevens tournaments, which is the Murray Sevens, which will happen, I think, around March or April next year. So this series serves as the hunting ground, I'd like to call it, for the Fiji Rugby Union in search for the next big name in sevens rugby. And it's a pathway for local players to showcase their talent and, you know, hopefully get the attention of national selectors who may be there for the three-day tournament.
A superstar that has come out of Tavuni is Janira Wakeham, who's now training with the Drua. And I'm not sure if we saw on socials last week, I think it was, there was a call out to the public. If anyone has a size 17 shoe, please drop it off at Drua HQ. And apparently, I think it was the Australian High Commission came through. And
yeah.
Did you? Was that big news in Fiji?
Size 17 in Fiji.
Size 17. You could paddle in those shoes. Out to the islands. But I hope Janira Wakeham absolutely kills it for the Drua and he gets his opportunity, product of Tavuni. But let's get over to across the Pacific now. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so over the weekend, we had three Fijian boxers that took part in boxing promotions. There was two in Australia and another one in Dubai. I'd like to focus on Winston Hill. He fought at the Gold Coast. He fought in Gold Coast, Australia. It was one of the undercuts fight for Jay Opitai. So he lost in the sixth round. He got knocked out by the Australian fighter Ben Mahoney in the IBF Pan Pacific Super Welterweight bout. You know, Hill is one of the best fighters in Fiji, and the result was rather shocking and disappointing, I would say. And there's been a lot of negative criticism about his performance. And I guess it goes to show the gaps in standards that we have for Fiji boxers compared to, you know, fighters overseas. Even the Boxing Commission of Fiji chairman, Adina Ryan, you know, he has come on board and he has stated, you know, he's made his disappointment, you know, very obvious. He told the media that, you know, these Fiji fighters need to have better standards if they dare to fight overseas, because, you know, they're flying the Fiji flag, they're representing us, and they just need to prepare well, you know, before their fights in order to, you know, at least lose by points if they're going to fight overseas. That's what he said, yeah.
Yep, I don't know if you heard my keyboard typing away there. We actually had to change one of our questions for our Fresh Off the Dome because Jai Opitai was one of the questions, so I had to quickly change that while listening. So thankfully, we've got a backup there for us. But thank you for ruining our question. No worries.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm only joking. But what has been the reaction, though, for those fights and the comments around those fights?
Well, you know, generally, people have high expectations for Fiji boxers, especially for Winston Hill, because he's been around for a long time. And I actually watched a live stream of his fight over the weekend. People had a lot of faith in him, but when, you know, he got sent to the canvas in the sixth round, it was just, people were just disappointed. You know, they were saying that he needs to prepare well, he needs to come back to Fiji. But, you know, there were some positive comments as well. They were thanking him for representing Fiji, but then again, they went back to, you know, better preparation and, you know, better luck next time for him.
And a quick one from me to shout out the VAS Regional Championship Tennis Tournament that happened in Port Vila in Vanuatu. It went from December 1 to 6 and featured 105 players from 13 different countries, including PNG, Northern Marianas, Tonga, Fiji, New Caledonia, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, American Samoa, and even some from Colombia, from South America. It was a huge range of athletes competing in the under 12s, 14s, 16s and 18 plus, as well as para tennis, and was a great display of tennis in the Pacific Islands. Congratulations to all the competitors who ended their year with so much amazing skills and good sportsmanship. Plus, everyone who put the event together in Port Vila, congratulations. There were so many stars on display, so I couldn't just pick out one, but hopefully we see more of them in 2027 in Tahiti for the Pacific Games. But thank you so much, Jamie and Tale. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands.
Join Natasha Metten for Sisters Let's Talk, a program that explores issues that are in the hearts and minds of Pacific women.
When it comes to obesity prevention efforts, it's really important that it is a combination of diet, exercise, and intense counseling that comes with it.
Sisters Let's Talk, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yaman Stapwe.
Yes, it's time to have a bit of fun and get to know my co-host a little bit more for the last time in 2025. And we're going to see who is a good liar, who has the best poker face, because we're going to play Gyaman Stapwe, which is Tok Pissin for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. And the other two co-hosts will try to Gyaman Stapwe them. And Jamie, you have the honours to go first.
I've run out of lies and truths, to be honest.
You say that every time you're on. But
all
yet,
the time.
You come up with something.
All right, so here are my 3 points. I will not be competing in the Gerehu Firelight Sevens tournament this weekend. Number two, I am still recovering from my ankle injury. And number three, I had a dog named Scooby. Which one is the lie?
Oh, those ones about you not playing but still recovering from some type of injury, it just seems to always happen. So I feel like even if you are recovering, you're still going to play. But anyway, Tale, what are you thinking?
Oh, man,
first
think the
time
injury
back,
is
actually.
A lie.
Oh, you think the injury is a lie? Obviously, you haven't been listening to the show.
Yeah.
Her shoulder's gone, her knee's gone, her back's gone. It's everything when it comes to Jamie and her sporting injuries. But so you're going to go with the injury? That's the lie?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
Okay. I'm going to go with your dog named Scooby. That's the lie.
Oh, so I'm going to give this one to Tully.
No!
Yeah. So I am not actually, I was supposed to compete in the Firelight Sevens tournament, but unfortunately I had to leave for home. Just feels like taking a break from sports, but I did have a dog named Scooby, and the last time we spoke, I had an ankle injury. Fortunately, I've been doing some recovery, so it healed up quickly, so that was the lie there.
Oh, my goodness. Every week you're telling me about how sore and broken you are, and now for that one time, you're actually not broken, and you're not going to play in the Sevens tournament. Well, you must have really earned your break. You must be really tired. So anyway, we'll move on. Tale, what are your three things?
Okay. Number one, I played rugby at one point in my life. Two, I'm one of the two female sports journalists at the Fiji Times. Three, I worked in broadcast for 3 years before joining print.
Ooh, okay. You've obviously haven't played this game for a long time, so you're fresh, ready to go with some good ones. Jamie, what are you thinking here? This is hard, actually.
Yeah, it's quite hard, but I am sure Fiji is a rugby country too as well, so I'm going to say you're not... I'm going to go with number two. I believe there's more than two female journalists at Fiji Times, so yeah. Just going with my gut feeling.
Yeah. I'm thinking number one, playing rugby at one point. I don't reckon you played. I just think that that's why you went into the broadcasting side and journalism side, just to talk about the game. So am I going to lock that one in? I'll lock it in. I'm going to say you didn't play rugby at one point. And this don't... It has to be a competition game, not like one of those backyard ones, all right? That doesn't count. But I'm going to lock in number one.
I'm going to give this to you, Sam. That was a lucky guess. I've never played rugby.
Yes, I'm back. I'm back in the winner's circle. There we go. No worries. Well, there you have it. For the last time in 2025, Garmin Stubwear is done, and we learn something new every week.
Join me, Rick Howe, on Island Music for the finest in ska, rocksteady, roots reggae, dub and sizzling dancehall, and all the hottest releases from around the Pacific.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Kareni from Sorong Samurai, and you're listening to Island Music.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tierney from Te Tangi o Te Kara, and you're listening to Island Music.
Island Music with Rick Howe, Saturday from 12 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia. Yours in the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. Off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
All right, we've talked plenty about the latest news, so let's hear from some of the talented people in the Pacific. And Jamie, we're going to start with you. Who did you chat to this week?
This week I had the opportunity to chat to PNG's elite touch football player, Grace Kauba, about her journey in the sport, and I started by asking her to introduce herself.
My name is Grace Kauba. I started playing touch at a very early age. Representative duties, I've represented PNG at 3 Pacific Games and 3 World Cups, so that's a max of 15 to 18 years, now almost 20 years of touch.
When did you start to play touch football and who inspired you?
So I used to follow my uncles a lot, and they were rugby players and they got into playing touch. So corporate touch, Port Moresby, started early in 96. Yeah, and they used to play night games at the old Lloyd Robson Oval. Yeah. And so I used to tag along with them and watch the game, and I sort of grew an interest to play the sport, and it sort of stuck with me since then.
What was your first touch football club when you began your journey in this code?
And my first touch football club that I played with was my late mom's club. The company she worked for, it was POSF, now Number One Super. So I started there with POSF in my early days, and then I grew into the sport itself onto the national stage.
When did you first represent Papua New Guinea?
So my first representative call was actually in 2012. That was the Touch World Cup in Scotland. Unfortunately, we didn't travel due to funding. That was my first rep call. I actually debuted on the international stages in 2015 at the World Cup. Prior to that, I had lead up events at the Indigenous Cup that the association Corporate Touch used to use as a platform to give exposure to the athletes. So the Indigenous Cup was where I actually built my games exposure leading into being selected into the Team PNG Touch team.
How many Pacific Games and World Cup appearances have you made since you started repping Papua New Guinea?
So I've played 3 Pacific Games and 3 World Cups. At the Pacific Games, we get selected in the men's and women's division. So I play in the women's and the mixed. And in the World Cup, we can only participate in one division. So I play in the women's. So I've pretty much represented Papua New Guinea in the open women's division at the World Cup. And at the Pacific Games is the mixed and the women's.
From your 3 Pacific Games and 3 World Cup appearances, what were some of the highlights you've achieved?
So highlight for the Pacific Games from 2015 to 2023, I have a total of 2 golds in the women's and 1 silver, and in the mixed, 2 silver and 1 gold. The biggest memorable moment would be 2019. When PNG touch clean sweep 3 goals in Samoa. So that's the biggest highlight in my Pacific Games career, and I always hold that memory. At the World Cups, we rank the biggest highlight for that for the World Cup would be in 2019, where we upped our rank from 15th in 2015 to 6th place in 2019.
I understand you're currently part of the Corporate Touch Port Moresby women's team, competing at the 2025 National Touch Championships currently happening in Leigh. How long has it been since your first NTC appearance?
Participating at these NTCs, I started playing national championships when I debuted in 2010 for Corporate Touch Port Moresby in Leigh in 2010. And since then, I've been playing nationals for the past 20 so years now. So, yeah, this time I'm wearing two roles. I'm a player and I'm also managing at the association level. So quite challenging, but it's a really good experience for me building into my sports admin career.
As an elite athlete who's been involved in this sport for many years, what can you say about the growth of this code, especially leading towards the preparations for the 2027 Pacific Games in Tahiti and the 2028 World Cup in New Zealand?
Yeah, touch has really grown over the years. It used to be just centered in POM and in Leigh, but now it's like it's really grown. You've got the Highlands regions playing, you've got the New Guinea Islands regions now, so it's really grown, and you can see it at nationals when we come to play. For preparations into the Pacific Games 2027, unfortunately, touch is not taking part. So we will only take part in the games in Cook Islands, the mini Pacific Games. Yeah. So we currently are now preparing our athletes for the World Cup 2028 in Auckland.
With Australia confirmed to introduce touch football at the Brisbane 2032 Olympics, this creates an opportunity for the code to make an appearance, but also for Papua New Guinea to have future Olympians in the code. What would be your message to young touch footy athletes who aspire to represent Papua New Guinea in the future?
Yeah, 2032 Brisbane, that's a really big milestone for touch football internationally, and us in-house here in PNG, it's a big milestone to have the first athletes who will be representing our country on the Olympic stage. My advice to young girls and boys out there, if you wanna make it to the Olympics, then you have the heart and the drive for it. It all starts at home. It all starts at home with respect, staying disciplined, staying true to yourself, being focused before you come onto the training pitch and onto the field, and to always, always turn up, do the hard yards. Nothing comes easy. You have to work hard to earn your spot. But most importantly, just enjoy it along the way. Never forget to enjoy it along the way.
Great chat. She said touch footy is getting more popular across all parts of PNG, not just in the big city. Do you agree with this?
Yes, indeed. It's grown since the back in the 90s and now up to 2000. You know, back then it was just the main cities, Port Moresby and Leigh, but now we're seeing it in little parts of the region, especially in New Guinea Islands and Highlands. It's grown over the years, so it's really good for the growth of the code, especially with the Olympics coming up in Australia, which touch football is most likely to be played there.
I know you play a fair bit of touch football in PNG. What's it like, you know, with the touches? Because I know that PNG, you know, athletes, and I guess if they're playing footy, there's a lot of aggression in their contact. But are those touches just a little bit harder than probably say if they played here in Australia?
Oh, it's really tough here, especially with when you're about to make the touch, man. Sometimes we forget that it's touch footy, like less contact, but we try to play it like rugby league. So, but yeah, it's really tough here, especially with competitions. Especially when you want to make it into the elite squad, you have to really be at your best. So, yeah, the aggression is real.
That's all good. It's still a new sport. It's growing. They'll get a feel for it later on. But anyway, let's go to you now, Tale. Who did you catch up with?
I spoke to the acting CEO for Mbula FC, Fiji's club, to the inaugural OFC Pro League, Anushil Kumar. Anushil is one of, you know, the familiar faces in Fiji's sporting landscape, particularly in sports administration. And he shared about his journey in sports administration, particularly in football.
From 2018, my football journey began as a media officer. And then in the same year, in April, I was appointed as the manager for Fiji under 19 national team, where I had to take the team to the Melbourne tour and then to New Zealand before the under 19 playoffs in Tahiti. While in Tahiti, I already received my appointment that when I will be back in the country, I will take up the senior men's national team as the national team manager. And then my passion continued to grow, my interest continued. And then in, what can I say, in 2019, for the Pacific Games in Samoa, every team manager would have to go through this national team manager course with the FASENOC in order to be accredited and lead the team to any of the games that fall under FASENOC banner, under the Team Fiji banner. So there I met one great guy who is now my mentor. And from there, he started guiding me. He started giving me advices. And then after the 2019 Pacific Games, in 2020, there was the first wave of COVID in Fiji. 2021, I applied for a new role within the organization, and I was given the job as the marketing manager. The scope even grew further because there I had to deal with sponsors and getting sponsorships. And then in 2022, I was offered a scholarship with FASENOC under International Olympic Committee to do my executive master's in sports organization management. And that required travel to Switzerland, two modules there. Two modules in Rio, two modules in Greece before returning back to Lausanne for my final thesis presentation and graduation. And then when I got back to Fiji, after my graduation in 2023, and in December, I was given the new role of the General Manager Operations of Fiji Football. And then that's where the scope even grew further when I started to manage the entire operations of Fiji FE. And then came this new professional league journey with the Bula FC, which is indeed a game changer for all. And of course, for me personally, a new challenge that I was always looking forward to take up.
That journey gave way to this moment in Qatar where you get to serve as a FIFA match coordinator, something that most people involved in football at home would want to achieve someday.
Anyone working in football would have a dream of working for FIFA one day as well. And this, I had this quiet dream. You know, when I was the national team manager back in 2022, we had the FIFA World Cup 2022 Oceania qualifiers here in Qatar. It was the same year when this new infrastructure were already built to host the massive FIFA World Cup. I came across this stadium 974, which has a unique story on its own. 974 is the country code of Qatar, and then the stadium was built using 974 shipping containers. So I just had a chance to take a photo from outside the stadium because we were not allowed in the stadium. And little did I know that one day this same stadium would welcome me as the FIFA match coordinator to officiate, to deliver official FIFA matches. So, yeah, it was a quiet dream which I had within myself. And then it was just a dream come true moment and a very emotional moment for me when I received the appointment from FIFA as the match coordinator here at FIFA Arab Cup. To your question, the journey had been quite special, quite emotional for me as well. and it came up with a lot of new learnings. FIFA deals with at a different level as far as football administration is concerned. So yeah, being part of this big team delivering FIFA Arab Cup here in Qatar is one of the biggest highlight of my football career so far. With this experience coming back home, I would really want to deliver matches in such a way to bring in professionalism. Of course, we do deal at a high standard back home as well. But then, as I said earlier, working with FIFA and having their way of delivery is something else. And then when I'm back, I would be given a chance sometimes in future to deliver matches at OFC level as well. So yeah, it would open a few more new doors for me when I'm back in the country.
You wear a different hat when you return to Fiji. Are you ready for the challenge?
Bula FC is Fiji's first ever professional football franchise. In simple, I would say it's the football version of Fijian Rua. So we are trying our level best. I would be trying my level best as well to bring about this complete change in football, to bring about this professional environment of football. It's something new for me as well. I am also learning as the journey continues in this professional arena. So building a competitive team is one of my target and our entire goal for Bula FC. And then, of course, the game-changing moment of as soon as we enter into the first match on 17th of January, it definitely would mark another beautiful chapter in football history of Fiji. Being a part of this journey and getting the football at a different landscape is also one of the aims that I am working towards.
Hey, just with the Bula FC, this is a brand new club, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a brand new club, Fiji's first professional football club.
And how does recruitment? How has that unfolded? You know, trying to capture the best talent, but also maybe even looking overseas for talent as well to make sure that they're very competitive.
Yeah, I think the team is actually falling behind in terms of naming their squad. Because I believe all the other clubs have named their players, but just yesterday they've just named their 11th player, and so far all players are local, all local based players. We were hoping, you know, to get rope in Fiji football's golden boy Roy Krishna, but there's still no news on that. But at the moment, all are local boys from some of the top districts in Fiji, and yeah, they are still naming their squad, actually.
Well, hopefully they do get the goats of Fiji in football. He's probably just waiting out just to see if he can potentially maybe get an extra zero on his contract, potentially. I'm not too sure, but I'd love to see him in that that Bula FC side. And it's going to be an exciting new tournament with games starting in January and games across the Pacific, including PNG, the Solomons, Fiji, New Zealand, Australia. And we'll keep all our listeners up to date across it in early 2026 when it kicks off. And have the Bula FC revealed their jersey yet? And what colours will they play under?
No, Sam, they haven't released or said anything about their jersey, but I'm excited for that. Their logo is brown though, so I'm thinking it's probably the same colour, but hopefully it'll be better than the Fijian Drua jersey.
What's wrong with the Fijian Drua jersey? You're not a fan?
No, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, they need to have some competition.
No way, man. No way. If I'm talking to Shane Hussein at the Drua, he said it's the number one selling jersey in Fiji. It's the Fijian Drua one. And we wish them all the best as they prepare for the upcoming Super Rugby season. But thank you so much for that, ladies. But before we finish up today, I always want to play Quizmaster and test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, let's play Fresh Off the Dome. Every week I'll ask three questions and Jamie and Tale, you will use your name as your buzzer if you think you know the answer. And of course, you can play along at home too. So let's get into Fresh Off the Dome. Are we ready?
We're ready. Jamie, ready.
Don't get too excited. Surely, a bit of enthusiasm. Ready to go. For the last one, 2025, Fresh Off the Dome, here we go. Question number one. This one's multiple choice. This week, the men's FIFA World Cup draw came out for next year. New Zealand have qualified, but there is one other Pacific Island team with a chance to make the tournament with playoffs in early 2026. Who is that team? Is it A, Tahiti, B, Solomon Islands, or C, New Caledonia?
Jamie.
Oh, go for it, Jamie.
I'm going to go with New Cal since I watched the qualifiers in March, so yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it was part of your highlights, so that made sense as well that we probably should have changed that question. But it is New Caledonia. They play in March against Jamaica, and if they win that, they play against Congo. And if they win that, they are off to the big dance at the World Cup. Jamie, do you give them a shot against Jamaica? It'll be a tough opposition.
It will be tough, but I'm banking on New Caledonia to at least represent the Pacific apart from our big brother New Zealand in the world of football, especially in the Oceania region.
Well, they've got our full support. And if they make it, they would be the second smallest nation ever to be at a FIFA World Cup. So that will be exciting news for them if they do get through. But let's get to question number two. Is that the rooster going off in the background? Who's got the rooster going in the background? Is that you, Jamie?
Might be me.
Is that dinner for tonight?
Might be. I'm thinking about it.
Me too, actually. Me too. I feel like a bit of chicken. Anyway, let's go question number two. One of the undercards for the Samoan Australian Jai Opataia fight was a Cook Island boxer. His first name and last name are the same. What is his name?
Tale.
Oh, go Tale.
Oh my gosh, I hope I get this right. Is it Teremoana Teremoana?
It is Teremoana Teremoana. There we go. He knocked out his opponents, and it was a great fight night for our Pacific Island boxers. Some devastating knockouts there. I'd hate to be in front of those punches, that's for sure. But let's go question number three. This one's multiple choice. 16-year-old Manoa Taru won a surfing heat in the ISA World Junior Championship and became the first from which Pacific nation to do so? Is it A, Samoa, B, Vanuatu, or C, Kiribati?
Jamie.
Go for it, Jamie.
My best guess is number two, B, Vanuatu, since Vanuatu, I think they sent a team over, so yeah. Best guess.
You are all over it, Jamie. That was outstanding. It was Vanuatu. He and two other Nevan surfers are in Peru at the championships competing for another couple of days. And there you have it, 2025 champ, Jamie, because it's you're not like the last try wins sort of thing for the whole year. That's you. You've won Fresh Off the Dome for the whole year. So congratulations.
That was my answer as well, by the way.
Oh, it's... Well, you know, the name of the game, you've got to get in faster. Doesn't matter if you know, you've got to get in fast as well. But it's been a pleasure, ladies. It's been an absolute pleasure. And it does sadly bring us to the end of our show for 2025. But we will be back next year. But a big thank you to my co-host, sports journalist in PNG. Thank you to Mas Jamie Haro.
Thank you to my Sam and Vinaka Tale for this show. It was a really good one. Fortunately, it has come to an end until we return next year. But yeah, overall, really had a lot of fun throughout the year.
So do we. And a thank you, big thank you to my other co-host, Fijian journalist and deputy sports editor for the Fiji Times, Vinaka Vakalevu Tale.
Sam, thank you so much for having me on the show and giving me this chance. I hope to return next year.
We will have you back next year for sure. And a big thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next year with more co-hosts. Looking forward to it. Safe and happy holidays. and much love from all of us here at Fresh Off the Field. This episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.